Dear family, the second reading today is from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians, where we learn that Christians have the remedy to hate and to war. Because Christians know Jesus Christ, who is the one who, as St. Paul says, destroyed with his own body the barrier that separates us. He destroyed with his own body hate. Hate is like a chain of vengeance and more hate, and it's endless. It goes from generation to generation, from person to person, until it came upon Jesus. And Jesus received it in his own body, and instead of hating, he loved and he forgave. So, in this way, now all who unite themselves to Jesus can receive from him the healing to be able to then love and forgive. And in this way, the chain of hate is broken. This is how love is victorious over hate and over evil. As we joined in Jesus Christ, who came for that reason, to bring love and forgiveness. Christians, therefore, in Christ, break the bondage of hate with love and forgiveness. This is madness to the world. The people in the world that don't know Christ laugh at this because they don't know the truth. They have not experienced this power. And we, as Christians, need to witness to it. Without it, mere words will not bring anybody to believe. This power we receive in the Eucharist. St. Paul says in the same letter, brothers, now we are united to Christ Jesus. How? In virtue of his blood, the blood of Christ. That is the blood that now we receive in the Eucharist. So if we receive the Eucharist with faith, we are capable of overcoming hate with divine love. St. Paul tells us that we are a new man. Why? Because now, as we approach the Father in Jesus Christ, we have the power of the Holy Spirit to live the truth, to live in love. This was before impossible. It's impossible for the old man. But it's the truth that moves, that drives the new man in Christ. In the first reading, the Lord tells us through Jeremiah the prophet about the evils that the shepherds are committing, and confronts the shepherds because they disperse the sheep. It is conveying to them a sense of guilt. And many today say, I don't like the Catholic Church because it is heaving guilt upon me. Well, guilt is good. Just think of it. If somebody steals your car and then has a sense of guilt and returns your car to you, is that good guilt? Of course it is. If we don't have guilt, it means that we no longer listen to our conscience. Then we are like sheep without a shepherd. We are really lost. We don't know the way. So guilt comes when we know the truth. We have heard the truth and we're convicted about the falsity of our lives. However, guilt is meant to take us to the shepherd, to Christ, so that we can experience forgiveness, and then the guilt is lifted. Jesus took it upon himself. We can start a new life. You see, what the devil wants is for us to continue in guilt so that we go into despair, and that is bad. So if you have guilt because you have done something wrong, trust in God, go to Jesus Christ and accept his forgiveness. and he will declare you free. That's why we go to the sacrament of reconciliation, instituted by Christ for that purpose, so that we can take our guilt and receive forgiveness and be a new creation. This is the good news. But if the shepherds themselves are ignorant of their own guilt, if they themselves are reckless, how can they help the sheep find the way? And this is the sad tragedy that Jeremiah is prophesying against. And the fulfillment of his prophecy is found in Jesus Christ, who is the holy, the good shepherd that speaks the truth, who witnesses the truth with his own life, with his own behavior. Jesus is the fulfillment of the prophecy. Jesus wants all his disciples to come to him and experience this forgiveness. But he also takes care of the physical part. And so he tells them, let's go and rest a while. They get on the boat, and they find when they get to their resting place that the people have come there first, and they are already waiting for them. But Jesus does not get angry. Jesus reveals his compassion. He is with them. He's tired himself. He needs to rest. But he knows that the people need it too. And so he shows them his love by example. Those people had great needs. They were sick. They were poor. They were hungry. They were victims of injustice and violence. But Jesus says that the reason for his compassion is first and foremost because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Brothers and sisters, the greatest disgrace is to be without Jesus, to be without his shepherding. If you have illnesses, if you have tribulations in this world, but you know who you are because you are with Christ, you got everything. And you can even rejoice in the tribulations. That is why Jesus is mainly concerned that they are like sheep without a shepherd. Everything else is added on. But that's why he began to teach them about the kingdom of God, which he himself makes present. And they learned, therefore, that they are sons of God, and that they are capable of the new life that St. Paul speaks about. Jesus does not wait to speak about the kingdom until later, until they have their stomachs filled with bread. No. First comes the kingdom of God and his justice. And like we have seen, Jesus himself, hungry and tired, gives example of this. They know what they need. Jesus knows what they need. But he wants to train his disciples that even before their own rest comes their need to love. Jesus designs a place and a time so that you go and have a rest. But they have to be willing to postpone even food and rest when love requires it. For Jesus, the first and the reason for everything is the love of the Father and the love to your brothers and sisters. Because in love, all the law and the prophets find their fulfillment. When our needs, our privacy, our routines control us, then our capacity to love is impoverished. If it's true that these readings speak to us about the Good Shepherd, it is also true that they speak to us about how the good sheep should be. And these people are an example. They search, they look for Jesus. They were diligent in going and searching for him. They made a great effort to find out where he was, looking at the direction where the his bark was going, and they got there first. They don't go to him because they want bread. They want his word. Sometimes people go to the shepherds only when they need something, and they don't realize that their greatest need is to find the love and the direction that the shepherds give in the name of the Lord. These people were rejected by scribes and Pharisees, by everybody, by the Romans, but they discovered that Jesus loves them. A good sheep discovers that true love and true happiness is to be with Jesus. And I think many times we complain about our shepherds, but are we aware that we are called to be good sheep? Are we growing in faith, in service of the church? We see in the life of the saint that frequently they had great difficulties with their own shepherds, and yet they persevered, giving much fruit. Not all saints were shepherds, but all saints were good sheep. In fact, to be a good shepherd, first, you have to be a good sheep of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And so, the readings today are for everyone. Everyone needs to know that, yes, we have guilt. We have not done our job well. We have to repent. We have to learn from Jesus. We have to go to him, learn to be good sheep, and then we can join him, be instruments of Jesus Christ to serve our brothers and sisters. May the Lord bless you.